Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. They then cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. This is the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. O Father, as we come together this evening, our prayer is that you will make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. And yes, Lord, that your saving power will be made known in this congregation and throughout our land. Thank you, Father, that we can join together as your people to worship you and praise you on this Sunday evening. Open our eyes and our ears that we might see and hear and become doers of your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the unity we share in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a blessed people, and we give you all the praise. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you will draw us closer to yourself as we worship you this evening. We thank you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you thanks. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer, so let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one that was and is to come. You alone are the great I Am, and you alone are the most high over all the earth. You, Lord, are our God. We seek you in all earnestness. You are the true God, the living God, the one and only living and true God, our everlasting King. Father, we come before you this evening and praise you and worship you, for you are our God, King of kings and Lord of lords, unchanging, sovereign and all-powerful. Father, you have given us life through and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we are able to approach and be welcomed into your throne room only because our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sin and we come covered in his righteousness. Thank you, Father, that while we were yet sinners, you called us and drew us to yourself. We thank you, Father, for Constantia Park Baptist Church, for all the ministries in the church where we can serve you. Thank you that you have provided and blessed this church for so many years. We pray, Lord, that we will continue to serve you faithfully as you lead and guide us. Thank you, Father, that we have been blessed for so many years with good sound teaching from our pulpit. And we pray, Lord, that we will be obedient to your calling and that we will become doers of your word. We pray that we will not waste any opportunity to spread the gospel. We thank you for our leadership in the church and pray that you will give much wisdom and discernment and perseverance to them, and you will encourage them in all their work to your honor and glory. We pray for all our officers, and especially our meeting on Tuesday. O Father, lead and guide us in the way of truth. We pray especially tonight for our pastor. Lord, empower him and bless him with much wisdom and discernment and strength for the coming months and weeks. We pray for the sick and the bereaved among us. Pray for Lydia, Lord, that you would hold her close to you, Lord. We pray for Sandra and Eben and Jan Oost, Thank you for the healing that is taking place in them. For Salome and their family. Oh, Father, thank you for the healing taking place in that little girl. Pray for Wilhelm Smallberger, for Doug van Meerte, Joshua Raven, Nanda Truter. We pray for the healing taking place in Gottlieb, Lord. Pray for Pastor Willem, that you will bring him back to us speedily. Pray for Miranda van Amava and Kerry Aiden Nobbs. Pray much for Henk and Florrie, Wilhelm and Marina Oudendaal, Dear Walt, Hubert and Marina Skalfkins and Zenny. Suzanne Neutscher, Elena de Camera, thank you that she's with us again tonight, Lord. Pray for Sarah Jane, Elizabeth Ardendorf, Thelma Anfield and Blanche Reinders, Naomi Fafir, Annette Libber, George and Mareka Yadan, Cecile and Elena Berger. And thank you that Susanne is so much better and also Mia, Lord. Lord, comfort all of them, encourage them and heal them, we pray. We pray for the Christians in the world who have been persecuted for their faith. Father, encourage, support and sustain them. And Lord, may they be an example to those who they come into contact with, for their faith, their love for God and their fellow man. We pray for the nation of Ukraine, for all its people in this time of war, and especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ. O Father, may many be drawn to Christ, the only true source of peace and safety. We pray for our country and government, Father. We pray that you will convict them, O Father. Give us leaders who love you as their Redeemer. Help us, Lord, not to focus on the negatives that we see and hear, but to focus on Jesus, who can change all things and can draw men and women to himself. Help us, Lord, to pray earnestly and diligently for all our leaders. We thank you for the season of rain, Lord, and pray for some of the areas in our country where there is still drought. O Lord, have mercy. Send rain and bring relief. We pray for nations of the world, Lord, in these times who we see the word of God attacked and slated even in areas and countries that were bastions of your word in times past. We pray for our missionaries, Lord. Pray that you would bless them and provide their needs, and Lord, give them a rich harvest as they preach your word. Especially tonight we remember the missionaries in Ukraine. Give them many opportunities to witness to your glory. Give them perseverance and strength. Strength of faith to be able to carry on in these trying times. O God, our Father, forgive us our sins we commit so easily and readily. And we pray that all we do and say will have the heart and mind of Jesus. O Father, change us. Lord, that we will become more like Jesus every day. As we turn now to your word and hear what you have laid on the heart of your servant, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds to hear and be changed. We pray this all in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and we give you thanks. Amen.
I greet you as the Apostle Paul greeted the Ephesians and the Philippians with the words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Brethren, I want to share with you thoughts concerning faith. I have titled the sermon, "I Believe." Just simple words, "I believe." But there's a background to what I would like to share with you tonight, or a context, if you wish. First of all, it's Easter coming up next week. Easter is a marvelous time. It's a time of great joy, but it's a time of tears and sorrow as well for what our Lord Jesus Christ has gone through, the suffering to bring us salvation. So Easter, when I want to share thoughts concerning what I believe, Easter has had a major impact on my life and my faith. And I would like to share some thoughts with you. Augustine Book Room. That's part of my background. It's part of Andra and my background here at the church. Augustine Book Room is a beautiful, lovely place to be. And I thank the Lord for the 3 years that we have spent there. Actually, Andra has. I've been there much shorter. But there are many books, more than 7,000 books, all to the glory of our Lord, I believe. And the people coming into the book room comes from all denominations and all kinds of churches. They come and they ask for books by Sproul and some of the others, and the Puritans, and sometimes somebody walks in and asks for something from Jules Alstein or from Kenneth Copeland, and something charismatic, and then I'm so glad I can give them Andrew Murray, you know. So, but the book room, yeah. And then, of course, we've got COVID, and we've got governments, and we've got mandates and things. All of this says something to us, and somehow in our faith and what we believe, we have to think about it and have a stand about these things. And of course, then the Ukraine is very near to us. For more than 20 years, I had the privilege, together with Andra, to share the word in the Russian Baptist churches, the Ukraine Baptist Church, the Moldovan churches, and I had the privilege to visit missionaries in Russia, and I stood on the Red Plain, which was a high moment in my life. We've cried many tears for the brethren, especially for congregations where we know that Russians and Ukrainians and Moldovians and Belarusians, they all worship together. And now there's much problem and heartache in those congregations. So this background behind what I want to share with you tonight. So what do I believe? I meditated on this for a long time now. Since 2020, when COVID came and we were isolated and we lost our work, and many lost their work and so forth. Meditate on faith in God. Ponder about it. Think about it. Read in the Word of God. Looking, take the concordance and look up every single verse that you can find concerning the faith. You think about what Israel went through. You think about what the Ukrainians are going through at the moment. And you sort of re-evaluate your own faith. You challenge your own faith because we are so, so weak. I would sit back and I would say, Lord, if I was in Ukraine at the moment, would my faith have prevailed? It feels to me that when I say I believe, I'm not as challenged as they are. But I believe what they believe, and they believe what I believe, I'm sure. But will I prevail when these things that they're going through are coming my way? So I want to share three portions of scripture with you tonight. There are many scriptures that we can share, but there are some that speaks very profoundly about the faith. And I would like to read three scriptures for you tonight as we start. But the one thing or a few things I want to say is I can't doubt God. I can't. I cannot not believe. So let's read the scriptures, and then we see what there is to say. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, our scripture reading from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes, just before the Song of Solomon, after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I want to read from verse 9, but the emphasis will be on verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. Verse 13, the focus, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. These words, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Then I want to read a portion in Galatians. We turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Again, I will read from verse 15 with verse 16 as the focus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners in Christ, then a servant of sin? No, Christ is not a servant of sin. Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So far, and then I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. That's the word of the Lord. So, if somebody would ask me, Piet, what do you believe? I'm prepared to give the following answer. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and he was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. This has been the confession of the church through the ages. But I think it's words that, in its most basic, set forth what I believe and what I think you will believe. The Puritans was a very special group of people. The Puritans believed in a biblical God, one who is not just transcendent, but immanent. He's here. One who is both impossibly far, but at the same time incredibly near to us. One who is both then everything that is too high to come by, but at the same time everything I can have and be here and now. For the Puritans, the God-centered life meant making the quest for spiritual and moral holiness the great business of their lives. They lived Christ. I read a prayer of Robert Hawker in a booklet called The Prayers of the Puritans. He lived from 1753 to 1827. And I was looking for how would a Puritan pray when it comes to faith. Listen, this is his prayer. Blessed Lord Jesus, let the faith of my soul be fixed and unalterable, one that admits neither doubt nor change. Let me with full purpose of heart cling to you, Lord. I see through your Spirit's teaching the Father's hand and approval in all your work and finished salvation. So here let me indeed be fixed and never be of doubtful mind, but live and die in the full assurance of faith. Let me be well pleased with what my God and my Father is well pleased with, always rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. He must have been, this Robert Hawker must have been a very godly man. I was blessed when I read this, simply asking God to be the content and the practice of his faith. But what is faith? Somebody wrote and said, doubt rather, if we talk about that first, doubt is faith seeking understanding. But faith then, by definition, faith in God is a trust in God. We will come back to this. It's based on a clear understanding and knowledge of who God is as he is revealed in the Bible. Because that's what the Lord Jesus said when he stood and he looked on the great Day of Atonement, when he looked at the people coming to the temple. He said, those who are thirst, let them come and drink. And those who believe in me, as the scriptures say, as the scriptures say. How God reveals himself in the scriptures is how we know him. That's what we believe. Faith is an intellectual assent to the facts concerning God as given in the Bible. Well, it's big words, but it simply says, my intellect, my mind must bow to that what is in the Bible. And it is a life-changing reliance on those facts in the Bible. When it comes to faith, and I think about my own faith, I remember a lady when I started my ministry some 40-odd years ago. I used to preach or take the Bible study hour in an old age home in Makassar. And it was a colored area, and there was a Tani Fishet. She was the wife of a pastor who has passed away. She was a widow. And she played the piano. And there's one song that she used to play. A few, but there's one particular one. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth living. Because he lives. You know, these words that we sing so many times in church, even of these hymns and spiritual songs, they tend to bring the truth so near to you. If you think about these simple words of the song, it reminds you of a faith which is childlike. There was another old man, his wife died. And I went to him one Sunday and spoke to him. He was old. And I said to him, Umtitis, how is it? How is it going with you? And he says, Duum, as they say, Duum, the Lord looks after his children. Die Here kyk na agter sy kindertjies. The Lord looks after his children. That's the kind of faith, brethren, that I want for myself. The kind of faith that trusts God, that rests in God, that expects everything from God, whatever. And there are other songs as well. I'm thinking of It Is Well With My Soul, Blessed Assurance, I Surrender All. Oh, come, all ye faithful, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That sort of the kind of words that, in a very simplistic way, formulate faith for me. Saint Augustine, when he wrote about faith, he said, but faith is not just the mere assent to certain truths, but also a fundamental commitment to acting on such truths. That are not only believed to be true, but are also believed to be good to believe. What St. Augustine is saying is what I found in Philippians 2 verse 5, where it says the same mind that was in Jesus Christ the Lord must be in us. It's to not just to submit because of pure submittance to the facts that we find in the Bible, but to allow those facts in the Bible to be things that work through you because you have committed yourself to those facts in faith. They are true because it's in the Word. And they are true because it works in you. And you are committed to it. Never to doubt it. Never to doubt it. Because it's God's Word. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith, I think it's section 86, says, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive a rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the Gospel. Jesus is the focus of faith. And then it can be a bit abstract, but I say to myself, but what is the act of faith? Because somehow people has to see faith in me, in my actions, in the way I live, how I live with my wife, how I live with people, how I meet people. And the catechism outlines four things. If you take the little catechism book and you read through it, there's basically four big sections in it. Faith is a relationship with God. First of all, He's the focus of faith, but there's a relationship with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. I don't know how people can give up on their faith. It boggles the mind because you are in a relationship with God and God is so real. But it's because in the second place, man has a need for God. There's something in man's life that only God can fill. Another person can't fill it. Doesn't matter how dear my wife is to me, how much I love her, my children, whatever. But there's a part in my life that they can't fill. Only God can fill that because we were created in His image. And His image can only be realized in us if He is the image giver in us. The importance of Scripture is another section. The importance of Scripture, the Word of God, reveals God to us. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we come to hear the preaching of the Word. That's why we listen. When the bread is broken to us, the Word is opened up to us. On Sundays, for example, we listen because Scripture comes from God. He's the first author, although there are more than 40 authors of the Bible, 66 chapters, two testaments, but it's one Bible, it's one Word of God. And then, in the fourth place, The Catechism teaches us about the principles of faith, of staying true and faithful to God. Now, all of these things, if you have read through the Catechism, or when I grew up in the Reformed Church, we did it, the Korte Begrip, which is the shorter catechism. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, he sort of take everything together. And Paul says to Timothy, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith have been shipwrecked. Cling to your faith. In these times, many a time, I had to cling to my faith. There was nothing else left. Now, you don't know my life, and I surely don't know your lives, but in my life, there have been times when I had to cling to the faith. Because the princes of this world has disappointed me time and time again. And I'm sure I've disappointed people as well. No doubt about that. But I cling to my faith. That's what Ecclesiastes says. That's the whole duty of man, to worship God, to cling to God, to cling to Christ, to cling to God the Holy Spirit. Because when everything else has been tested and everything else has been lost or found, the only thing that remains is faith in God. Faith is central to the Christian's life. Faith is central to Christianity. Just think about the five solas of the Reformation. Many a time we hear it from this pulpit. Sola fide, sola gratia, sola Christus, sola scriptura, and sola gloria, to the glory of God. Just faith, only faith, only grace, only Christ, only Scripture, only to the glory of God. That must be the basis for me. That's the basis of my faith. That's where I find the strength and the truth and the facts on which I base my faith. It was Luther who said that the sort of faith that justifies is fides viva, living faith. A faith that inevitably, necessarily, and immediately yields the fruit of righteousness, which is Christ. The Reformers, and now I'm grouping them all together out of the Reformation, has said that on the topic of saving faith, that biblical faith has three aspects. Listen carefully, because I'm sure this is going to mean something to you as it meant to me. Biblical faith has three essential aspects. There's notitia, assensus, and fiducia. I'll explain them to you. Notitia means the content of faith. The things we believe. The things that we have to believe. And those are the things that I've read to you. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. And all the things that we read about his life. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in a Catholic church, a general church, the true church. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Those are the things that's the content of my faith. And then the assensus, conviction, that what we believe, the content is true. We can know content, yet we may not believe it is true. Intellectual assent or commitment or affirmation can be very academic. Very academic. I can believe with my mind, but my heart is not in it. But it means simply that the assensus, the conviction, that what I believe is true. These things that's a content of my faith, that I believe is true. It's non-negotiable. It is true. And then the third point, the fiducia, is the personal trust and reliance on that truth. Personal. It's the heart and the mind meeting. Look, the demons also believed. James 2 verse 19 tell us that. The demons believed and knew who the Christ is. They believed he was the Christ, the Son of God. But there was no saving grace there. Because the heart of the demon was against the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is effectual when there is personal trust in Christ alone for salvation. When we speak about affection, about that personal trust, the unregenerate person will not come to Jesus Christ. Because his heart is naturally against Jesus Christ. He hasn't got the Spirit. The world hasn't got the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that. The world cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They don't have that. The Holy Spirit changes this so that we embrace Christ. We love him because the Holy Spirit changed our hearts. So we have got these three moments. Notitia, the content of faith. Assensus, the conviction that what I believe is true. Fiducia, the trust, the personal trust, the personal commitment, the personal giving to these facts and submitting to that for my life. Faith and conversion goes hand in hand. When we speak about repentance, adoption, peace, access to God, it's all by faith. We cannot have that if we don't have faith. Brethren, faith is something very, very special in the life of a child of God. When we look at Christians, and we look in the congregation where they come together, and you find a husband and a wife wants to divorce, or you find infidelity, or you find sexual immorality, or you find these kind of things. It boggles the minds when we say we are Christians. But when it comes to these things, suddenly faith is gone. Faith in Christ is the power I receive to be his child and to know if I go wrong, I can come back. Because that is what 1 John 2 verse 1 says, if we fail, we have an advocate in Jesus. One can hardly understand how our Christians can confess their faith, and they, as we heard this morning from Jacques, they can be baptized and have an open confession that I'm a child of God. I've been baptized as a testimony to that. And then after some time, they cool down, they break their relationship with their husband or the wife or whatever the case might be, or they become unfaithful. It boggles the mind that can happen. And we are weak in faith. We are very much like the one who prayed in the Bible and asked the Lord to meet him in his weak faith. And we should constantly be before the Lord, praying that he would help us, that our faith prevail. I'm reminded of the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter when he said to Peter, and in my own words, Peter, you're going to go through a tough time, but when you've repented, come then in faith and strengthen the faith of your brothers. My own words, paraphrased. But there's a truth that we do struggle with faith. I sometimes struggle with faith. But the author of my faith and the sustainer of my faith never gives up on me. He might allow me to go through difficult circumstances. He might allow certain things to drive me to the brink of breaking down. But remember what Psalm 23 says. If you've got to go through the valley of death, he will be there. All of these truths somehow need to be in your life and in my life so vivid that I can put my hand, so to say, spiritually in the hand of the one who stilled the waters and the storms, and know, so to say, feel his hand holding mine. Faith, brethren, without faith, we won't make it. But faith in Christ is precious, precious beyond anything that we can imagine. Then it doesn't matter what comes against us. Doesn't matter hard times or good times or whatever times. We will prevail. In this world, we will prevail. Even against the gates of hell. Because the author of our faith, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, will see us through. Isn't that what we saw? He will see us through. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. He is with us in our beginning. He will be with us in our end. I think it was Richard that quoted this morning the portion of scripture concerning the jailer when he said, what must I do? The jailer said, what must I do? And then Peter said to him, believe, believe. I believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. May God bless you and keep you as you believe and walk in this life as a believer that Jesus is the Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for a word, for a Bible that we can take into our hands and we can know that this is the blueprint of our faith. Scripture alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. A word that reveals God to us so that we can believe. Please, Lord, strengthen us in our faith as we have to walk in this life. Help us to abide in you and walk as you have walked. Abide in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. We will sing, "By Faith We See the Hand of God," closing hymn. dear brothers and sisters, go in peace, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.